You're listening to the Newsmakers podcast from MLB.com.
This is the Rocket, Bill Latson. I'm here at the winter meetings in D.C., and I spoke to John Paul Morosi of MLB.com. He talks about Andrew McCutchen, Chris Sale, and Edwin Encarnacion. I also talked to baseball great Fred McGriff, who is now working for the Braves. I'm with John Paul Morosi, a columnist with MLB.com. John, thanks so much for being with me. John, the talk here is about McCutchen and Chris Sale. How's that going right now?
Well, I think, Bill, in that case, the Nationals still very much involved on both players. And even there was a report last night saying that they feel like they can even get both of them. That might be a bit of a challenge when you think about the prospect price for both. But listen, the Nationals have a very deep farm system. I think if Victor Robles is in the deal, they have a very good chance to get McCutchen. And then I think on Sale, you wonder if... Is Giolito and Lopez enough? Would that be enough of an offer to bring in Sale? If true, then boy, the Nationals have a phenomenal rotation for going forward. I do believe the reports that Turner's untouchable. I think he's too much a part of their future and their present right now. He's not just a prospect. He's come up and proven what an indispensable player he is for this team. So I think Turner has to stay. But if the question is, would the Nationals give up Robles, Giolito, and Lopez, if it means getting both McCutchen and Sale, I think the answer to that question is yes.
What do you think, why do you think the Pirates are trying to get rid of McCutchen? It seems so strange.
That's a great question, Bill. I think it's a market reality for them. They're in a situation where they have a ready-made replacement for him in center field, in Marte. They've got Polanco in the outfield as well. Josh Bell can play the outfield. They have Austin Meadows coming. And so when you're a mid-market team or a small market team like Pittsburgh is, I think they're one of the two smallest TV markets in the country, you simply have to make the tough decisions. And for them right now, in the case of McCutchen, he's entering the last couple years of his deal, and if you don't feel like you can afford him on his next contract into his 30s, then this is probably a good time to trade him because he still has a lot of value. It's a two-year exposure, 2 years of control for the acquiring team at about $28.75 million, which I think for McCutchen is a pretty reasonable sum. He had a good last 2 months of the season. I know people talk about a disappointing year in 2016, but actually he had an OPS above, I think, 830 or 840 from August 1 onward. So still a very quality player. And I think, Bill, too, it's almost time for a change of scenery for him. I think that he has given so much to the organization in Pittsburgh. They haven't gotten over the hump. So many of his contemporaries have now moved on already, Neil Walker and that group. So I just think it's time, and whether it's the Nationals or the Rangers or the Dodgers or the Giants, I think that those are the teams where I think he'll be playing in one of those spots here by the end of the, if not this week, probably by next week.
Chris Sale is young, and are the White Sox rebuilding totally?
They should. I think, Bill, you look at where they're at right now, and they haven't been in the playoffs now since 2008. Sale, as well, is a guy that, remember, of course, the jersey-cutting situation.
Yes.
This year. I think his frustration is starting to mount with all the losing. And once you trade him, Bill, I think it opens up the possibility to trade a Quintana, Adam Eaton, Todd Frazier, David Robertson, even maybe Jose Abreu. So there's a number of moves that the White Sox can make. I just think, candidly, looking at the way their roster is situated right now, I have a hard time thinking that they can compete with the Indians right now, or even the Tigers, even if the Tigers keep somewhat of their core together. They had a good first couple months of the year, but simply right now, Bill, the mix is not working. So I think you get younger, you try to pair up the group of guys that's coming with the likes of Carson Fulmer and Carlos Rodon, that group coming in there. I think you focus on that group a couple of years down the road when maybe the Indians and the Tigers are going to be cycling through their next iteration, even the Royals as well. I think you should be shooting for 2019 with a younger group, which means I think trading Sale and probably trading Quintana as well.
I know the Nationals are the main team you hear regarding Sale and McCutchen, but they're not the only team that want those two guys.
Oh, sure. That's a great point, Bill. I think that for Sale, the team I'm watching is Houston. Houston, to me, they've upgraded, of course, their lineup. We've seen Beltran, McCann, and Reddick added to their lineup. I think they need a better rotation. If they're going to win the World Series, Keuchel and McHugh and McCullers, Fiers, and then Morton, that to me is not a World Series rotation. They need one more top-end guy. So I'd pay very close attention if I were Nationals fans or fans anywhere, the Astros potentially on Chris Sale.
And what about McCutchen besides the Nationals?
I think with McCutchen, I would say for him, Texas, the Dodgers, and the Giants, I think are all strong possibilities for McCutchen. And again, I think the Nationals right now are in a bit of a staring contest with the Pirates. We'll see who blinks first. But I also think that if both sides are going to dig in their heels, there are alternatives in each case. The Nationals, if they want a center fielder, they can go after the likes of a Dexter Fowler. Again, I think Desmond's an interesting possibility. I sort of doubt that that'll happen going back to Washington. But it's to the point now, Bill, where the staring contest, I remember going back with Justin Upton and the Diamondbacks and the Rangers a couple of years ago, 3 years ago now, I think, where if at some point in time it's holding up your business, you got to move on. So that point has not happened yet. But I think it's going to happen in the next 24 hours or so, because if that deal's not going to happen, I think both teams, it's in their interest to move on and make some moves before it gets too late.
You know, this is a weak free agent class, but Edwin Encarnacion was a pretty good player. Where is he going?
You know, it's a great question, Bill, because I think his possibilities now are starting to dwindle. With Toronto going with Steve Pearce, on top of having gone with Morales, that possibility is basically gone. Cleveland, there was a report from Jeff Passanier recently that maybe Cleveland's looking into Encarnacion. I think Texas makes a ton of sense. But this is now a concerning situation for Encarnacion, his agent, Paul Kinzer. Not a lot of great options left right now for Encarnacion.
John Paul Morosi, thank you so much.
Bill, my pleasure. Great to talk to you in your town. You are the host, my friend.
Thank you. I'm here with one of the outstanding major leaguers. That's Fred McGriff. Fred, thank you so much for being with me. Fred, you're here for John Schierholz's Hall of Fame ceremony. Obviously, he acquired you in 1993, and what does John Schierholz mean to you?
Well, John Schierholz, over the years, he's done a great job before in Kansas City, and then he came over to the Braves. And the Braves had that great run, 14 division titles, and then, four or five World Series appearances, you know, winning in 1995. So for me, to turn that awesome, John acquired me from the San Diego Padres in 93, and I went to a great team and we ended up winning it all. So for me, I have that one World Series ring. I got one for winning and one for losing.
But, talk about that year you joined the team in 1993. That was an awesome year for you during that second half. Talk about that.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, when I joined, we were 10 games out of first place, trying to catch the San Francisco Giants, who were in first. And I come there, and it was a tough situation in the sense where Sid Bream was loved in Atlanta, you know, because he had done some great things for the Atlanta Braves, and he was loved. And I get traded over there, and Sid's still on the team. You know, so it was tough in the sense where you join a team and the other first baseman is still there. And it was so funny because, you know, I would play in the first game. I had a big home run, but Sid would pinch hit. And when Sid would pinch hit, he would get a standing ovation, you know, from the fans and everything else. So you're sitting there like, oh, brother, you know, they love this guy, you know. So, but other than that, it was great. And we ended up catching the Giants, and it's probably one of the best division races of all time, because we ended up winning 104 games and the Giants won 103 games, and it was a great race that went up to the last game of the season.
Talk about the entire career with the Braves. You helped them win the World Series in 95, and 95 was very memorable for you.
Yeah, 95, it was the ultimate, because as a player, your goal is to playing a World Series and win it, and then the Braves had come up a little short the years before. So finally to pull it off and beat the Cleveland Indians, it was awesome. I just had great teammates from the David Justices and Marquise Grissoms and those guys who were just great people, players, individuals, and so forth, and we did it.
I got to ask you, you had 493 home runs, a lot of RBIs. I don't understand why you're not in the Hall of Fame.
This is out of my control. You know, I just have to keep plugging along. I've been very blessed and got to keep going. Hopefully you'll just keep, you know, you'll keep putting in some good words for me and I can get in.
Do you have any in your theories as to why you're not in?
Oh, no, I don't. You know, I try to talk with other folks, and some people say, you were short seven home runs. So that means if I would hit 500 home runs, I'm a great player. But if you hit 493 home runs, you're an okay player.
That's unreal. I got to tell you, though, what is Fred McGriff doing today? He looks like he's very busy.
Yeah, I still work with the Braves as a special assistant to baseball operations, and so I go to spring training and so forth, and then during the year I go to the minors and check out the minor league teams, and then I do some amateur scouting, little stuff like that, little stuff to keep me busy. I'm trying to get more involved in the game, trying to learn the game. It's a different game nowadays, so trying to learn that, trying to learn all the ropes. So coming here to the winter meetings, just another chance for me to learn.
It looks like the Braves are on the rise. I mean, I love the moves they made the last 2 years. Inciarte, Dansby Swanson, I mean, they were steals, in my opinion. What do you like about this team?
Well, hopefully those guys keep developing, and then this winter they're going out and got R.A. Dickey and Bartolo Colon. Hopefully they can be inning eaters, and they can win some ball games, and the Braves can get over 500 and just keep coming along and give the young guys a chance to develop a little more in the minors. And so in the next few years, they can produce. Because the thing about with baseball is that you always got to try to make adjustments. And so hopefully the young kids continue to make adjustments and develop. Because in the perfect world, they all develop and they all play well. But, you know, it's not a perfect world, so it's not going to happen. But hopefully they'll keep developing. And so in the meantime, some of the veteran guys that they've signed will come through. Matt Kemp had a great year once they traded for him last year. So hopefully he'll come in ready to play this year.
What do you think of Inciarte and Swanson?
Inciarte, great young player, played a great center field, won Gold Glove and everything. And Swanson, you know, watched him play in college and so forth at Vanderbilt, and he was great then. He's a very solid player. He's going to go out every day and he's going to make the plays. He's a ball player. You know, he's going to get the runner over to second base. He's going to do little stuff that's going to help you win ball games. And guys like Swanson make a great team where on a team, on 25-man roster, everybody has to do their part. And so Swanson does his part and plays a good shortstop and gets his big hits. And then you let the Freddie Freemans and the Matt Kemps and other those guys, they drive the ball and try to hit the ball out the ballpark. And then you have a good team.
Tripp and Griff, thank you so much.
Yep.
That's it for the Rocket Show. We'll talk to you next week.